get it, who truly didn't get it where she was concerned and didn't fully appreciate her. She's just a regular Durham girl raised in Durham, and she marries this high-profile professor who at some point feels that her intellect doesn't match with his and decides that he should go on to more greener intellectual pastures. And he ends up leaving her and the girls. And so she is suddenly a single mother, never thought that she would be in that situation, unemployed, because she had been an at-home mom. They were living in, what, probably $800,000 home, because he was way, way up writing grants. That's where the story goes. And so she's suddenly faced with a life that she never thought that she would live, and she was completely unprepared for it. Losing her husband, losing her home, losing her livelihood. It was like in one day, everything was gone. So that's where you start off when you meet her.
All right. Now, the Christian writing process for Christian fiction is different from writing nonfiction Christian living writing. Can you talk to us a little bit about the process of writing this book?
The process of writing Christian fiction is that you have to be very prayerful while you're doing the story, charting it out, doing the outline. You have to make sure that you are reading the word and that you are using scriptures that apply to the character's life almost as if they are a real person. Because when readers are reading it and something happens that in real life will cause you to pray or go talk to a friend, go talk to your pastor, they want to know, well, what is it thus says the Lord for this situation?
Right.
You have to keep them as best as you can within the boundaries of living a wholesome life, unless they're one of your kind of bad and ratchet characters, and then they get to do a little more because the readers get it.
Yeah,
but you have to...
I was going to say, you do have a couple of those loud and rowdy ones in this book.
Yeah, I do. And they get to actually do more than the characters who are on the straight and narrow. And I have to think about everything when I create that character. They have to make them true to life, but I also have to make them be mindful of the relationship that one has with the Lord.
Yes. Yes. Well, thank you for sharing that. Now, you talked a little bit about what your process is. What was the actual inspiration for this book?
Well, I went through a divorce, and I lost my home. I had everything, and I had to regroup. And it was something that I never thought I would go through. I had two daughters, and suddenly I had a home. I was in Richmond, Virginia. And all of a sudden, the girls and I are moving into an apartment and just kind of going through. We ended up being fine. I remember one Christmas we were together, and it was really one of the best Christmases we had ever spent. So I kind of took that experience because a lot of my friends said, you went through this with so much humor and grace, and we hope that at some point you will write about this. And actually, this experience happened while before Church Folk was being published. And
wow.
So I waited down the road when I was ready to really deal with it in a humorous way. But, I mean, I don't know Curtis Park. And my girl's father, he is not a buzz specialist. But I kind of took the feelings that came with going through that when you try to do the right thing and things don't work out, and I apply that to the character.
Gotcha, okay. Well, this book does have some challenging life issues. You talk about divorce, you talk about blended families, you talk about scandal in college athletics. Did you expect to include these issues, or did they develop as the story progressed?
I wanted to include because one of my really good friends, she is the wife of a college and a coach at an HBCU. They're up at Virginia Union now. And, I mean, she and coach are fine. It's not them. But just talking and listening to her about the challenges that coaches at all schools, but particularly HBCUs, face and how dedicated they are to their players, And I also have a good friend who's like a cousin. I kind of asked both of them in the acknowledgments, and he was a basketball coach at one point, and kind of learned what his family had gone through when he was on the road, and how his wife would, you know, be responsible for their girls, and, you know, all of the challenges with that. So I wanted to kind of deal with that, and I found it fascinating listening from their side, and thought it would be real interesting to bring that story to life.
Okay. That is interesting.
They were just my consultants. Some of the things with Coach Parker was, you know, again, then the story takes on its own life.
Right. Well, there are varying levels of faith in this book. Talk to us about how you depicted those different levels of faith.
I believe the starkest differences occur between Yvonne and Curtis. Mm-hmm. And Yvonne was forced in many ways, or pushed or thrust into a faith mode by a crisis. Curtis wasn't really experiencing anything other than he wanted to win a championship.
Yeah.
So I wanted to deal with sometimes the differences that I perceive and the way women walk with regard to faith and the way men walk. And sometimes men seem to have, from the way we see it, choices that a lot of women don't have. And so women sometimes are pushed to have to really deal with the stark realities of what it means to truly walk by faith and not by sight, where Curtis had a lot more choices and even resources than Yvonne. So those are the two characters in dealing with their faith. Both were believers, but one had to literally activate it every morning when she woke up, and the other one could toy with it and go back and forth at his leisure.
Right. Well, I'll tell you, listeners, this is a very exciting book. When I got my hands on it and began it, I could not put it down, and I ended up staying up until I finished it the first time because I just wanted to know how the story ends. Now, you have many books, and I just have to be honest. I have just about every book you have written.
Thank you.
Yeah, they are some amazing stories. And I like the way that you connect them, but they're separate stories.
Mm-hmm.
The two very separate. Can you talk to us about some of your other books and just introduce us to those?
Well, the first novel is Church Folk, and that's my signature book. I call that, it's kind of like Luther Vandross's House Without a Home. Everyone knows that song. Everybody can relate to that book. And that book is the one where people became acquainted with my style of writing and my storytelling, the way I tell a story, and they liked it. So that's the book. It is set in Mississippi, and the most memorable character, of course, is Reverend Theophilus Simmons. Then there was Second Sunday, which is actually one of my favorites because I got to tell the story in my hometown, St. Louis, Missouri. But I also got to deal with some really quirky characters and to deal with people who were older than the generic or traditional book character, which they're usually around 20, anywhere from 22 to about 41. So I have characters in their 60s and 70s, and they're actually very active characters. And if your listeners are patient, I'm letting in my 17-year-old who just got back from dance practice. So I have to be the radio person and a mom at the same time.
Yes, we do. Well, I can tell you, I've read just about every book, and Michelle is very good at drawing the characters in such a way that you literally see them. They literally come alive, and you actually see them, you can hear their voices, and you get their personalities by the way she describes them in the book. And I really appreciate that when I'm reading any of the stories that you've written, I feel like I'm really there.
Thank you. I try to make them as real as possible, and I'm laughing because some of the things that keeps them real is just that in my everyday life, it's so real. As you can see, I'm opening the door during the interview, and that's normal life for me. And I like to bring that aspect to my characters. I want you to see them and hear their voices. I want you to know who they are before I give their name. Mm-hmm. And I really like the characters, even the characters who I don't like personality-wise. I put it this way. I dislike them enough for them to become real enough for you not to like them either. And I study people. I study the way they walk, the way they dress, the nuances and inflections in their voices, the way they hold their hands and head. I look at how people put on makeup, how they assemble their clothes, even their body shape and their form. I look at that to try to figure out, how do I translate this into print and make a fictitious person come to life and appear real to a reader?
Right. Now, I'm gonna go here for just a moment because this was one of the funny parts to me. I think that's what I'll call it, is the funny part. And I'm jumping in the middle of here, so listeners, you're going to get a sneak peek into Up at the College. Charles New Curtis didn't have any business in Rump Shakers. If he had not been the host school for this meeting, he would have told his boy to go home, go see his grandmother, go and try to talk to that fine Yvonne Fountain over in the Department of Design at Eva T. Go and break off that foolishness with Virginia Young. Go and do anything but hang around up here. So can you just tell us a little bit about Charles? I've read the story, but for those listeners who haven't read this story, can you tell them just a little bit about Charles? Because I like Charles.
Charles is one of my favorite characters, and he came on board as a cameo almost in Up at the College, but everybody was fascinated with him. He's a Durham boy. He's a multimillionaire. When you meet him again in Passing Is a Boo, you realize that he's worth maybe $40, $50 million. No one knew that in Up at the College, not even me. And he is this very suave, handsome, has swag, bad boy with a good heart who doesn't want to be good just yet. And the more you get to know him, the more you like him. And he has a look. I kind of made him look a little bit like Terrence Howard, kind of on that order. And this is long before Empire, but I kind of gave him that, you know, really good-looking red bone brother look. And he has bad boy in him. And so women love Charles. I mean, you know that he had the wall with the underwear and they nail it to him and all this kind of stuff. But he owns the hottest strip club in North Carolina, Rump Shakers Hip Hop Gentlemen's Club. But when you go in it, it's very classy despite the business. And you begin to see how much he is involved in being a true businessman, how he treats his employees, and despite the business, his perception of women isn't as jaded as you would think given the type of business he's in. But, I mean, that's still a problem. He is making money off of people shaking their rumps all over the place. But he is a fascinating character, very smart, very shrewd, and will encounter some serious dilemmas in Praying Like Crazy, because that story is actually about him.
All right. I'm looking forward to that one coming out. Now, you mentioned it, but I'd like for you to introduce your latest release.
Okay. Well, the latest release is called Past the Knees of Boo, and it's about Denzel Flowers, who became introduced to the readers as a cameo character. I had never thought about Denzel taking a prominent role, so readers kept saying, what happened to the pastor where the women had a fight in this church?
Yeah.
And everybody just loved Denzel. He really didn't show up but for a couple of pages.
That's
and
right.
They wanted to know more and more about him. So I decided that he would be the first major story in the First Ladies, in the Pastor's Aid Club series. And okay. What I found, I kind of introduced him in the novel More Church Folk, where you meet him as a young man, FBI agent slash preacher, and he really has to deal with some pretty scary people. Well, people were fascinated with him, the Dinkle Brothers Cartel, who I bring back actually and praying like crazy. They disappear and kind of resurface. And they just wanted to know, how does a minister turn around who has kind of become jaded on love and a womanizer, but also a very good pastor? And we hear about that all the time. We run into it. You have a pastor, and everyone just loves him to death, but he's single, he's good-looking, he's charismatic, he's all these things, and behind his back, they're always whispering, he needs a boo. He needs a boo. And so I thought Denzel was the perfect character to bring that kind of dilemma to life.
Right. Well, thank you so much for sharing that. Now, if you would, tell us how our listeners can get a copy of Up at the College and some of your other releases.
Up at the College is in a lot of books that are now under Grand Central Publishing, and that is all online right now, although they have copies spread out in different places around the country and definitely on Amazon. So if you go online, Amazon, you should be able to find a hard copy. But all of the books are on BarnesandNoble.com and Amazon Kindle at this point. That's the first five. When it's Church Folk, Second Sunday, Holy Ghost Corner, Up at the College. More Church Folk is in hardcover. You can get that at any bookstore in the country. And Pastor Needs a Boo, you can get that at any bookstore in the country. And if they're not in stock, they'll all put it on order and bring it in for you.
Okay, that sounds great. All right, listeners, it's giveaway time. When I say, and the winner is, we want every listener to say their name, and this month's winner will be heard by everyone. So, if you're ready, and the winner is Tanya! Tanya. Hello, Tanya. Yes. Hey. Hi. I won again. Wonderful.
Oh, my God. Thank you, Lord. I'm just happy.
Okay.
I get the book.
Okay. Well, Tanya has won an autographed copy of Up at the College by author Michelle Andrea Bowen. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you, our listeners, for joining us today. And we'd like to thank all of you that have participated in today's call. Special thanks to author Michelle Andrea Bowen, author of Up at the College. And we're asking that you join us on May the 25th at 7:30 p.m. as we host Christian Living author Eric F. Hood, Bolingbrook, Illinois, author of Wisdom, Life-Changing Words. This is Angela J. Poole with the Ask the Author Live teleconference, Lady AJP Ministries. We're empowered to enlighten, encourage, and empower you through the word. Blessings.